Wir sind heute hier,
we are here today
eine Begegnung
to have an encounter with God.
Wir sind heute hier,
we are here today
den Verlorenen
to proclaim salvation to the lost.
Das Heil
salvation
Jesus Christus,
in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Wir sind heute hier,
we are here today
den Kranken zu sagen,
to tell the sick,
der Herr,
the Lord is your physician. We are here to tell those in despair and those in need, the Lord is our refuge and always our help. Today, with God's help, we want to look at some of the parts that go along with this evangelistically, doctrinally, prophetically, from the Word of God, so that all who have come may receive what they ask of God and what they need. Before we pray, I want to read Psalms 20 from verse 1, and I ask that we stand up to it. Psalms 20 from verse 1. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with a saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you with all our hearts for the extraordinary privilege of entering into your presence. Dust and ashes we are, wretched and miserable, and yet you have looked upon us in grace, in Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, and have given us forgiveness of our sins, the blotting out of all iniquity, and eternal life by grace. O God, we are here to meet you, to understand the times in which we live and to respond to what you ask of us, absolute obedience and perfect faith in your precious and holy word, which you have revealed through your Holy Spirit. Lord, may your hand of grace, Yes, may you yourself be present in our midst. Banish everything else, every spirit that is not of God, that all may leave this room, that you alone may come into your own and speak to us. Lord, I ask you to give me the right concentration and also all listeners. Yes, give grace to speak and grace to hear. May the anointing of your Holy Spirit rest upon us. O Lord, let us know today that we have found grace in thy sight. Let us know your plans and your ways. Lord God Almighty, King of the nations, be highly praised and exalted, for you have redeemed us. You have been gracious to us. You have spoken to us. I thank you for this, Lord. And as we have read the psalm, so would you hear from Zion and give to everyone what they need. Lord, grant our desires. May they be according to your will and your word. We consciously place this gathering, this service, faithful God, under the covering of the blood of the Lamb, and ask you, faithful Lord, for the direct guidance of the Holy Spirit by grace. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I would like to welcome everyone, especially those who may be here for the first time today. May the Lord bless you in a special way. Feel comfortable. Feel at home. And may the Lord speak to us all in a way that we understand and that we believe. You all know that we are living in a very special time. Events are coming thick and fast. It is difficult to follow things. We, as Bible-believing Christians, as people to whom God's Word has become dear, precious, and valuable, the only guideline, the only binding proclamation of salvation and doctrines is for us the Holy Scriptures, not the interpretations, but God's Word itself. And he who loves God's Word loves God's people. God's people, seen from the Old Covenant, is the people of Israel. Seen from the perspective of the New Covenant, it is the Church of the Firstborn. All people chosen by God before the foundation of the world and ordained for salvation in Christ, who have come to the faith. When we look at the outside, we see Israel, and we can't help but keep our eyes on it, because often enough, or a few times, Brother Branham has said, if you want to know what time it is in the day, look at the clock. If you want to know what day of the week it is, look at the calendar. But if you want to know what the prophetic part of the Holy Scripture is, look at the people of Israel, because on them you can see how far the time has gone. In this newspaper here, World on Sunday, is the article, Syria demands that United Nations exclude Israel, and so on. It's about the Golan Heights. Let me tell you very briefly that we have absolutely nothing to do with politics here. But if it is things that are prophetically grounded in the Holy Scriptures, then we have to take our stand according to the Word of God. The Golan Heights have belonged to the people of Israel since the days of Joshua. Twice this name has been mentioned in the Bible. I can only touch on it very briefly so that you can read it. Joshua chapter 21, verse 27. And Joshua chapter 20, verse 8. And when you have read these scriptures, then you can also read about Gaza. Joshua chapter 10, verse 41. Joshua 10, verse 41. And then you can read Joshua 13, verse 3. And if you want to know the placing of the borders of Israel, you can also read Joshua chapter 12. And you will find that the 2.5 tribes were settled on the east side of the Jordan. You can read it in Joshua chapter 12 from verse 1 to 6. I'm only reading verse 6 because of time. Them did Moses, the servant of the Lord, and the children of Israel smite. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave it for a possession unto the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half tribe of Manasseh. I purposely brought the map of Israel that we had on our round trip. I just want to show it to you very briefly. You can see the clear line here, the Jordan River. 2.5 tribes were settled on this side, on the east side, namely the tribe of Reuben, the tribe of Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh. The city of Golan is right up here. You can see it, if you want to, afterwards, on this map. And know that not only what Israel has up to now, but even this part that is not part of it today will certainly be added to it in the next war. The wonderful thing is that God is fighting for Israel. He is simply helping this people to come into possession of what is rightfully theirs from God. Outwardly, or also as far as the church is concerned, we of course see many things in its development that we must not pass by. So much for the people of Israel. They will get more in addition to what they already have, because it is their due from God. You will see that this people of Israel will gladly give back the Sinai Peninsula, which was never part of the Promised Land. but never will the return land that was sworn to their fathers and promised by God. They will negotiate for appearances' sake, but will not give back a foot wide of what is theirs. Spiritually seen, this is an extraordinary lesson for us as the Church of the Lord. We have seen it in the struggles behind us, each time more and more and more, up to the total territory that belongs to this people. We know in the Church of the Lord, God has restored more and more up to all that was promised and also given by God to the Church in the beginning. And we believe that we are on the way there. And when we read newspaper clippings, Mubarak visits the Pope, Reagan wants also to visit the Pope. All roads lead to Rome, as we all know, but only one way leads to heaven, and that way is Jesus Christ. It was He who could say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." If we, and perhaps I have done this quite consciously as never before, now on my travels, I sat on the plane enough, and what I cannot do otherwise, at least read the headlines. And you see that the greatest men in the world, they find their way to the so-called capital of the world. It is not yet as a political world capital, but it is in the background. But it is known as a religious capital anyway. And when you see the large picture in the paper that the Australian foreign minister is handing over a check for 1,800,000 to the Pope for aid to Poland. Why not? Why not on the spot? Anything to make headlines, to get an audience, and you see exactly where the strings are pulling and how things are going. I just want you all to understand. We don't have a single word to say against a single person, no matter what religion they may or may not belong to. But one thing has become great to me in the last few weeks. A brother gave me some writings about the Jesuit Roberto, who was in Spain for many, many years, and this man has come to the faith after many years, and he has exposed the schemings that are so controlled and that nobody suspects or knows about, and suddenly something happens. I read in it how well-known personalities, for example, Katrin Kuhlmann, her manager was a Jesuit, established the connection to the Pope. I read how Jimmy Jones, who handed over hundreds of people to be murdered, that he himself was a Jesuit, and that he acted on behalf of the Pope in order to pillory all those who did not belong to the main churches, so that they would finally be called to account. I was shocked and deeply disturbed by the reports given by this Roberto Rivera. And if one then takes into account the word of prophecy for this time, and we must do this at every opportunity, then we know what has been said. In the end, everything will fall to Rome. And you may say, yes, that is happening somewhere. Brother Fair gave me a clipping here. Friday, 22nd of January, 1982, Schaffhausener News. It says, instrument of the ecumenical movement will be set in motion. I read only a very short passage. Then what is lying on an open old Bible is signed by the representatives of the seven member churches and fellowships, Protestant, Reformed, Roman Catholic, and Christian Catholic National Church, Baptist Church, Protestant Methodist Church, Salvation Army Corps, Schaffhausen, and Pentecostal Mission. It is not just somewhere. It is happening among us, around us, and the people. And here it's even written the word, the reference, John 17, 21. One can refer to any Bible verse. What is actually going on? Do we have open and anointed eyes to see what it is all about? Or are we, like many others, missing the point? I am convinced and believe with all my heart that God has revealed His Word to us for a very specific purpose, that we might discern. And I tell you, there are many, they think they have the gift of discernment. It has become great to me personally that no gift can be separated from the Word of God. We can only discern when God's Word has been revealed to us through the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, it is our gift of discernment and not a discernment of the Holy Spirit. When I even read in the accounts mentioned earlier how these men trained others right into the full gospel, into the charismatic ranks, and all with the one purpose of simply saying that God is love and that He loves all, and that no matter what or what stamp someone may be in, that God is just a God of all. Outwardly, this all sounds very good, but those who have a spiritual understanding know that God is calling out His people. God is not in Babylon, and neither are His people His church. God is calling out. And as it was described there, that they should just go along with these certain things, with this purpose of making the whole movement Rome-orientated. Oh, I mean, for me, this journey was of extraordinary importance. I have known some things. I have heard the sermons of Brother Branham. I have read the prophet Daniel and the book of Revelation, and I have not slipped. But the fact that things have progressed so far, and we can see now in the trial of strength. It is a certain trial of strength. We can see it in the example of Poland. And what is written in Revelation 17 must come true. We will not have any influence on it, but God will let things happen as He has said here. It says here in the second part of the first verse, and then verse 2, "Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration." Here is a description of the whole thing, and it's not worth beating around the bush. You don't have to look here and there. You have to look for things where they are. And after God has revealed it so clearly, we cannot help but let the call go out. Ye, my people, come out, and touch not the unclean thing. Then you shall be my sons and my daughters, and I will be your God. Outwardly, it is a pleasant thing when everyone comes together and there is agreement among the religious leaders. But today, it is about more. Today, it is about the unity of God. There is only one church of the Lord. And let no one has the impression that we are talking about us here, but to this one church of the Lord belong all who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, who found grace with God, who have been called out. Now, here we have two things. We have the beast and the woman sitting on the beast. It's actually so clear that you can already feel it, and you have to close your eyes and still see it. One is the religious power, namely the woman that is presented here. The other is the political power and everything that goes with it. And who sat on top of it all? The woman who rules over the kings of the earth. It was not the political power. It was, is, and will be, until the end, the religious power. And I ask you today, how many nations and how many empires have fallen into ruin, but this one institution, it remains in all wars, it remains in everything. How many other empires have fallen into ruin. How many wars have been fought? But this one institution, it has grown and grown and grown. And you will see that the influence will continue to increase. And the influence, it will be so enormous that humanity will just recognize this Superman. It is basically already the case today. All the politicians testify to that by going there and having their audiences, that they have subordinated themselves in a certain way. But there is a small crowd that can never submit and will never submit. It is subordinate to God and His Word, purchased and washed in the blood of the Lamb. We are not concerned with having or finding worldly prestige or recognition, but with recognizing the time and the hour in which we have arrived. It was in 1933 that Brother Branham first saw the world events that would take place until the Lord's return. Five of them have already found their fulfillment. And then he said, the sixth thing he saw was a woman who stood up. She was royally dressed and beautiful in appearance, but inwardly, this woman was cruel. And he added as a footnote, as I'm sure we all read it in the sermons, perhaps the comeback of the Roman Church. And today, behind that perhaps, we can replace it and see that it is so. And we are not afraid to say it, because if we don't, I ask you today, who will? Will those who compromise do it? Will those do it who want to have recognition with men, who are in the same doctrine of the Trinity and basically spiritually united with them? No, the Spirit of God, who has spoken through Brother Branham and revealed the Word of God for this time, will put these things now, as they are necessary, anew upon the lampstand. We have nothing at all to lose, even if our body is killed. No one can kill the soul, and there would be nothing more beautiful than to die for the truth, not only to live, but to die for our Lord and Master. So we see that these things are coming to an end, to a climax, with giant steps. It has now been 30 years since 1951 that I consciously started following Jesus, and I have had the opportunity to observe the spiritual development from its early stages. What would have been unthinkable 20 years ago is conceivable today. Yes, that has long been done and is behind us. Many years ago, the men of the full gospel realized the full truth. They preached it regardless. Today, they look for the Antichrist in Judaism. They look for him in Islam, and they look for him everywhere, but not where he is. Someone has put a veil over their eyes and hearts. And since I read these reports, I know exactly that it has been the tactic of the enemy to just wrap people up so that they no longer see clearly and only talk about the love of God for all. We talk about the love of God for all, but the love of God is the love of the truth. And the truth is God's Word. And only when the truth of God's Word is preached can people receive it, believe it, and become free. There is no other way. Surely, someone may think, should one not preach the pleasant things? Yes, that is what the word of prophecy says. Say to those who prophesy, proclaim pleasant things to us. There is nothing pleasant to proclaim. What has to be proclaimed has to be proclaimed. There is no other way. And I remember when Brother Branham was in Rome and Dr. Blumberg wanted to mediate the conversation with the Pope at all costs. Then Brother Branham asked the question, what is necessary to have this conversation? And you all know, I'm sure you read it. And Brother Branham waved it off and said, that is not an option. And that's when this man I spoke of earlier quoted and said, never would the Pope give an audience to a person who is called a heretic. And we see by that, that people have to agree with him in a certain sense to get the connection with him. Let me say it clearly. The Church of the Lord is one spirit with him and has been baptized into one body by that one Holy Spirit. We are not one with Rome. We are one with Jesus Christ, our Lord. One with those who laid down their blood and lives so that the truth could endure to this day. And when the turn comes for us, well, we can't change it. But somewhere a voice must sound and our eyes must be opened about it. I read to you that these political powers will give their power to the woman until the words of God are fulfilled. Revelation 17, from verse 15. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sowest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the ten horns which thou sowest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God has put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sowest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. This is God's word which I have just read. And we see here that it is written of the ten horns, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her naked, and burn her with fire. But before that happens, it says here, for God has put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast. That's the beast on which this whore sitteth. And that is happening right now before our eyes. Every power is being broken, no matter how strong it feels. And there's only one superpower left on earth, and that is Rome, and all that goes with it. You can look to the east, and whoever reads the newspaper reports, he sees the queues in front of the shops. He knows that everything is bankrupt. What good is a great system when bankruptcy is there? But there is one place where there is no bankruptcy. There is also no strike. There are no unemployed. There is no queue in front of the shops. There is a place, and we need to know. I say again, if we don't proclaim it, who will proclaim it? And it must be said that all people should come out of all churches and denominations to be free to make their decision for God and for His Word, and have nothing to do with all the things that go out from Rome and end up in Rome, but have the grace to take their stand before God. I cannot tell you what went on within me when I read these clippings, and I thanked my God that I was able to look under the veil, to look behind the curtain, that a man has broken out at the last moment to bring to the public all the things he has witnessed there during all these years. What is it? God is admonishing His own. He does not only lead us out, He makes us see things very clearly. Not that we are still ogling and thinking, well, maybe things are okay. It is only okay if it is from God. And if it is from God, we will know it from the Holy Scriptures. Otherwise, it is not okay. I wish I could have brought something else today. But if only it could have achieved the one thing, that we have become aware of our responsibility before God, and quite clearly and distinctly, that the Church of Jesus Christ is a redeemed multitude called out by God, and that this Church is called the Church of the Firstborn. Our names are not written in a membership book somewhere, but they are written in heaven. That is where we want to belong forever. Then it says in chapter 18, I just want to read that quickly. And I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Here we have another description of the picture we spoke of this afternoon. Here it speaks of the falling, and you know perfectly well what Brother Branham said in regard to that. He said, at the very end, Russia is going to drop an atomic bomb on the Vatican and finish the matter in a single hour. You can read the judgment on that in chapter 18. It really speaks of 1 hour. Revelation chapter 18, verse 10. Standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. You can read on, but please understand now the world picture that we are already in at the present time. It is a showdown, and there is no one in whose inner being everything is so agitated as in the high officials in Moscow, and that everything that is happening goes against their grain, and that anger is rising in them, and that they are already saying that one day we will come back at you. You can count on that. The situation must come as it is written here, so that the words of God find their fulfillment. If everything goes smoothly, then anger does not rise. But here we have read that they will act in one mind until the words of God will be fulfilled. And they must give their power, whether they like it or not. They must bow and submit as the greatest political powers. And that this is across their grain, you can count on it. Perplexity is among them. Now, when we see things so far advanced, the question arises in us, could the coming of the Lord be nearer than we suspect? Could it be that God wants to visit us, and this not long from now? Could it be that God wants to pour out His Spirit? Yes, that He wants to glorify and reveal Himself in His power. When the Lord Jesus speaks about the things of the end times, He says, when you see all these things coming to pass, then lift up your heads, because you know that your redemption is drawing near. Lifting up our heads is not enough. We ourselves want to be lifted up. And if we want to be lifted up, then the power that Jesus Christ raised from the dead must be in us to make our mortal bodies alive. That is the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. And we want with all our hearts that God could fill us with His resurrection power, with His quickening, blessing, miracle-working power. And I tell you, God's power is an omnipotence. It encompasses the universe and includes you and me. God called us out of Babylon, not just to separate us. He had a specific purpose in doing so, namely to reveal His power and glory once more at the end of days. Let no one be deceived by any man, in a frivolous way. God's holy word has laid down the guidelines for you and for me. Paul wrote to Timothy, in the last days they will heap up teachers who will preach to them what their ears are itching for. We are not here because we somehow feel something on our ears. We are here because God has spoken to our hearts. We are here because we know that we are living at the end of the time of grace, and that God has sent us His servant and prophet to give us enlightenment about all the things that look so beautiful but are seductive. And by the grace of God, we will be able to move forward with His help. And as I said earlier, it makes us realize that we are very close to the end. And then it brings us inwardly into a distress, and we say, Lord, we are not yet ready to meet you. Come into our midst. Come into our lives. I say again, it is not enough that we lift up our heads. We want to be lifted up. We want to be raptured. And therefore, the power of God must fill us. It can be today. Do you believe that? It will not come from the platform. It will come down from heaven. Human revivals are conducted from the platform. Divine revivals come from heaven into your heart and mine. Something is happening, not from the platform, but from heaven in your heart and in mine. May God anoint our eyes and give us grace, is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us rise and pray. Dear friends, brothers and sisters, it is coming straight to my heart. Those who are not ready to listen to the true prophet sent by God will listen to the false prophet. Therefore, let us take to heart and believe what God has promised us in His Word. Let us receive and accept it from our hearts. It is a matter of life and death. It's do or die now. God demands His own and calls them out. He wants to reveal Himself to us. He wants to save. He wants to bless. He wants to give clarity and testify in a mighty way. Let us put off every Babylonish garment, as in the days of Joshua, and let all that may be wrapped therein be clothed in the white linen, which is the righteousness of the saints. May God give His blessing by grace. He is mighty, present, and looking through this room now, and sees our heart and knows our thoughts. Oh, that we could believe, we would behold the glory of God, and God would confirm His word in those who believe it, for it does not return void, but accomplishes what it was sent to do. God has sent a message to the bride church, and she will listen to the voice of the bridegroom. And the voice of the bridegroom is his word, and he has revealed his word so that he may reveal himself to us and we may behold his glory. Lord, my God, with all the sanctified in Christ Jesus, our Lord, and all the redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, we cry out to you together. Reveal yourself once more and call out the last ones before the door closes forever. O God, let us have the seal of God, my Lord, for all others will take the mark of the beast. My God, how great and glorious thou art. In simplicity you have spoken and revealed yourself to your people. You make us recognize Bible prophecy, and we may see your word fulfilled before our eyes. Lord, if you were here today in my stead, you would open and read and say, today this scripture is fulfilled before your eyes. I thank you for it and praise your wonderful and holy name. Lord, may the power of the blood of the Lamb be at work for forgiveness and redemption from all sin, O Lord. And may your word be effective by the power of your wonderful name. Lord, have thine own way with your people. We recognize that your coming must be very, very near. Beloved Savior, I pray for all who have heard your word, and pray today for all who are here and who cannot be here. When they hear this sermon, would you bless them and speak to their hearts? I ask this, faithful God, may you be with all of us by grace, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen.